Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It has been, to say the very least, a rough couple of days. I crawled out of bed about 30 minutes ago and came in here to start pulling the program together. Kind of in one of those weak as a kitten situations, but we'll see if there's 3 hours of radio in me this evening, because missing out 2 nights in a row is... Well, missing last night was pretty frustrating. 2 nights in a row would be unbearable. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I think it's the back note. No. This is the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. It is 5 minutes past the hour. And... yeah, it's been a right solid 48 hours of no solid food, lots of chicken broth, and I've discovered about the only thing that'll bring chicken broth to life is a little bit of garlic powder and black pepper. Agnes has been trying to nurse me back to health, and well, we're just keeping our fingers crossed, because one way or the other, we got Doodle's graduation to deal with on Friday, and yeah, I did. I just got out of bed 30 minutes ago, Marty. And Marty says, well, then, good morning, Bob. Good morning, Marty. So, hopefully, we'll make it through 3 hours and do it okay. Let's see. Loud and clear on TuneIn, Bob. Hope you're feeling much better. I'd hate to pray for the sky spook for you, and there are so many, mostly mean, so you'd be SOL anyway. That's entirely true. Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you very kindly. Yes, Anatole in the chat room, you are right. Agnes is a saint. And by the way, it being the beginning of the program, for all the folks in the chat room right now, as the program begins, that means good evening, Anatole, good evening, Jeremy, good evening, Jug of Punch, good evening, Mr. Gibson, good evening, Texas T, and good evening, Truth Seeker, as well as good evening to Sparky, who is a third stage guild navigator, in addition to being the longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator who has folded space to be this evening, Man Cave. Let me offer my deepest apologies for not being in Cleveland last night. There's no way I could have made that drive yesterday, and I'd probably still be on the road now, if I had even tried. It's been a couple of miserable days here. Not that I'm crawling up on the cross or anything. I know we all need the wood. But I did want to let you know that the horn was represented at Bill's memorial last night. I got some photographs from our good friend Jug of Punch, who went. Thank you for sending the photographs, Jug, and thank you for being there. Oh, where to go, where to start? Well, you know, the usual stuff applies. This is a listener-supported broadcast endeavor. And so... we try to raise $200 an evening, 20 at 10, 10 at 20, 40 at 5, etc. Now, Friday was always scheduled to be an absence here, because of graduation. And with that in mind, I want to thank Chris for sending along a Have a Rerun on Me. That is deeply appreciated. Thank you, Chris. Thank you indeed. That takes a little bit of the weight off of things. So if we can raise $200 this evening, and I'm going to, I think I'll probably be on air tomorrow evening, and then we'll just get up Friday and go, because my family coming in from way the hell out of state will be right exhausted by the time they get here tomorrow. So we'll meet up with them on Friday morning. So if I don't relapse or, you know, go back into this berry or whatever the hell it is, everything will be okay, and we'll have a program tomorrow evening. Now, there may be, and I can't be for certain, there may be periodic absences this evening occasioned by little emergencies associated with this bug. I hope not, but there may be. So if we suddenly go dark, it's not because Agent Fred has flipped the switch over at the NSA or we've been hacked or anything. It's just hell, that's all. Wait a minute, let me see something here. Well, this is perfect. Mr. Gibson tells me the website is down, and in fact it is. Let's see if I can do something about that. Moment. Well, I hope it comes back up. Maybe it will. I don't know. At the very least, after the program, I'll deal with it. So, if you want to help out with keeping the program going, supporting the network, then in the absence of the PayPal interface at the website page contribute, you can always just go to PayPal and use Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com as the recipient address, because that's the address that's tied to the PayPal page, too. Okay? Cool. All right. So, by the way, indeed, it is not like I don't know what day it is. I so do. I just don't know. I don't know if I got the hooting and hollering in me for Brother Bob this evening. That takes a little bit. But having said that, it does not change the fact that this is indeed Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And, of course, it would not be, it wouldn't be this program, and it wouldn't be Prayer Meeting Wednesday if we didn't have some tales of the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered right wing. To impart along the way this evening. And, of course, we do. There's further tales, because this story will simply not go away. there are further tales of duggery to be gone into this evening. And in lieu of me doing my preacher shtick, well, hey, why don't we just go to a real, live, honest-to-God, evangelical, fundamentalist preacher? And not just any preacher, I might add. Let's go to the Duggars preacher. Oh, this is, I would say to get out the hockey puck, but I might be better off advising you to to possibly get the anti-emetics out, because this is pretty disgusting. This would be from the Pinnacle Cross Church. And just a couple of days ago, last Sunday, May the 31st, this would be the Reverend Doctor, not that he could put a put so much as a Band-Aid on and not kill you, Dr. Ronnie Floyd of the Pinnacle Cross Church. They got five branches to the Pinnacle Cross Church, which is one more point than a Pinnacle Cross has. They just got four if you count the part that's in the ground. And Dr. Ronnie Floyd is gonna sort of bring together two themes for this evening. See, I'm doing it, and I don't even mean to. Jesus, God. But, no, really. Dr. Ronnie Floyd is going to bring together two themes from this evening, namely the Duggars, And that proto harlot, Caitlyn Jenner. Mm-hmm. You're gonna love this.
Fact number three, you are created for God's glory. Fact number two is what? Fact number two is you are made in the image of God. And fact number three is this: you are formed by God specifically and intentionally. Specifically as God created you. And specifically as God created you with great intentionality.
Not intention, but intentionality. And that's a seriouser level of intention. Kind of like Florence Henderson taught us way back when, that wessonality was a greater level of wessonishness in the oily world than simply wesson, but wessonality. Right? Yeah. So God has created you with intentionality, which means, and I'm sure there's nobody sitting in the pews there of the Pinnacle Cross Point Cross Stitch Church in Arkansas stand, which means that God creates you with intentionality and already knows if you're going to be an incestuous predator of your own sisters. Or if you're gonna, or create you with intentionality to be homosexual or heterosexual. Cause, you know, awesomest mighty power in the universe knows all, sees all, screws with many. And with that intentionality of love, that means he's before you're even a zygote, before you're even a blastocyst, he's saying, that one, I'm gonna make that one gay so I can love it so much that I can just throw it into the fiery pits of hell. That's some religion, is Christianity.
Let me demonstrate.
Oh, dude.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. I referred to it a moment ago, but let me read it here. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them. Male and female. Now,
granted, okay, but let's remember that the man part of woe man, the reason it's woe man and man is because the man was sort of a hapless intermediary in that. Right? Yeah. Which reminds me of the fact that there's another guy out there, some weirdo lately, who is preaching that there is no such thing as marital rape.
Oh,
Christianity, so loving, so kind, so decent, so good. No, if hubby just comes home and you're May Eller and he goes to rutting on May Eller, ain't nothing May Eller can do about it because you're supposed to submit. Which opens up a whole nother book of just how wonderful being a Christian is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, created he, and of course, as he's standing there with his hands in his pockets talking to the rubes there at Pinnacle Cross Stitch Point Church, he's not going to tell them, for instance, that the book of Genesis was actually first written down sometime during the either Persian or Babylonian captivity. I can't remember which, but I think it's the Persian. And that there were political and economic reasons for it being written as such. No, sorry, not coming in.
Make this very clear today. The word male and the word female are not the same words in this text. They are two different words. Why is that important? Because there's no such thing as gender neutral. Did you hear what I said? There's no such thing as being neutral in your gender.
He did that because he didn't get enough harumphs. No such thing as being gender neutral. In other words, we're going to rely for actual scientific proof on people who were amazed by shoelaces. They were so technologically advanced.
Or as the marketing world is trying to convince you, as they manipulate you in the way you think about purchasing things, you're unisex. No, you're not unisex. They're two different sexes, male and female.
Absolutely. We can't just have socks out there. We got to have man socks and woman socks. We can't just have bathrobes. We got to have man bathrobes and woman bathrobes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. I can't stay away from it, can I? No, not really. Not when you're dealing with a clown like this. And this guy's raking it in. He's got five churches. He works one day a week, and he's got five churches, and he's got a hustle for the ages. Now, he's not quite up to Creflo Dollar hustling. Creflo Dollar, according to an article from the Griot that was sent to me by our buddy Isaac, Creflo Dollar's governing board of Hustling for Jesus Ministries, or whatever it is that's... They have declared their intention to buy Creflo Dollar his Gulfstream 650 Mondo jet because it is within the purview of the ministry to take Bibles to the starving masses. Because, well, why would you want to give food to the starving masses? I mean, after all, when Jesus was a feeding of the multitudes, He had some loaves and some fishes, and he had a few copies of the Watchtower. And he gave the loaves and the fishes to his disciples, and to the hungering masses he passed out copies of the Watchtower. You know what? I gotta tell you though, if I was gonna be trapped on a desert island, and I could only have one book with me, you know what I'd have? I'd have the Bible. Because that would mean I would have at least 2,000 pages of toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Let's get back to Dr. Ronnie.
And the whole scheme of the world today is to try to get us to see those are very, very unclear lines. They're not unclear lines. They are clear lines. If you are created a man, you are specifically and intentionally created to be a man.
And you best not be, and you best not ever be thinking about wearing anything but really scratchy flannel wool underwear. because that's what man's wears.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the note that got sent back to my grandmother when she was a young teacher. Billy not stink. Billy smell like him daddy. Billy smell like man. Old maid school teacher not know what man smell like.
Yeah.
And none of you women's, you don't get to wear no scratchy woolen flannel underwears because you are not man. And there is man and there is no man. That's what it really translates. Man and no man.
Right. Yeah.
And May Eller, don't you be trying to bust up young Schifferobe neither. You hear? We'll get there, Marty. We'll get there.
So don't try to be something else. If you have boys being raised in your home, I want to challenge you today. Men, raise your boys to be men.
Manly men. Lumberjacks.
You will determine that to a great, great degree. If you're a single mom today and you do not have a husband in the home, you get that child, that boy, around godly men. And the,
you know, like the Duggars.
The Church of Jesus Christ needs to be the one to hold up that model of godly men who take care of mentoring young boys and adolescent boys who do not have a dad in the home.
Even though this guy talks in a mushy accent, it makes him sound like he's talking with a mouthful of cum, but never mind.
If you're created as a female, I want to remind all of you ladies today, you are specifically and intentionally created to be the way you are.
Don't you never put on no damn tool belt, for that way lies the love that dare not speak its name. And a power drill is the way of Satan unto Lebaneseness. Mm-hmm. Ye betcha.
God created you female.
Because he hated you. Because his book is all full of hate for women. Why are any women involved in any of the Abrahamic religions? Beats the living daylights out of me. I mean, I can see why some guys would want to be Roman Catholic or Muslim or Jewish, but, you know, nothing there for women folk. Just, you're filthy. Do something about it. Right?
No such thing as gender neutral.
Gender neutral. I'm thinking he had a couple of snorts before the sermon. Because there's been a couple others of those. Right? Yeah. Gender neutral. You heard it. I didn't make it up. Hear it again.
Female. No such thing as gender neutral.
And I really must agree. I have never heard of gender neutral until this moment. Unless that's the name of the high cyclops on Norblap 12. Lachmar de Lichner, gender neutral. Lachmar de Diptru, pleb.
No such thing as unisex.
There's no such thing on earth as something that can be used equally well by a male and a man and a no man. See, there's no such thing as unisex. Especially in potties.
Right.
I mean, for instance, right here in Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever.
Oh, my goodness me. Yep. This story's been banging around for a little bit. No, I'm sorry.
not in the new United States of America, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, but in the new United Kingdom, which is the greatest kingdom on earth now, today, forever. I will. The Jewish community in North London has banded together to bring that community some more freedom. The ultra-Orthodox Jewish community... Shh. Don't tell the Saudis. And don't tell all the white wingers in America who think that Muslims have a lock on treating women like crap. The Haredi of North London have issued a fatwa, or whatever it is they call it, and it was just referred to in this Times of Israel story as an open letter. Suburb of London called Stamford Hill. They declared that the no-mans are violating traditional rules of modesty by, wait for it, driving automobiles. So now, according to that rule, if mamas who are part of the Haredi cult, if they drive Precious Lumpkin to school, Precious Lumpkin gonna be expelled from school. Mm-hmm. Now, apparently this rule doesn't go immediately into effect. It gives the harlots a chance to amend their ways. But as of next August, if the vile, disgusting, vulgar no-mans persist in driving their Precious Lumpkins to Haredi school, then, yea, verily, the Precious Lumpkins will be cast out of Haredi school and have to thank their and have to just be grateful that the men folk don't come out and stone them to death, you know, for being the children of car driving harlots. The new guidelines have been endorsed already by the Bell's Educational Institutions, plural. There's more than one, which is, you know, becomes even more disturbing. And the Israeli Bell's Rabbi Issachar Dov Rokic and the expulsion of the Precious Lumpkins was Rabbi Issachar Dov Rokic's idea. Mothers of pupils who have started to drive drove the all-knowing, all-seeing, ever-wise men people to promulgate the new rule because of, quote, great resentment among parents of pupils of our institutions. Further proof that, in fact, there is a brotherhood between the Semitic Arabic peoples and the Semitic Jewish peoples. Women can't drive in Saudi Arabia, and now with these, with the promulgation of this rule in North London, ultra-Orthodox women can't drive neither because they're filthy, they're disgusting, because they're women, and their God says so. It has always been regarded in Hasidic circles as not the done thing for a lady to drive. I wonder if they're fitted with chastity belts.
And the article closes by saying, the Bell's dynasty is one of the largest and most powerful religious movements in Israel and has sizable communities in the UK, US, and Canada, which is probably, for all I know, that's the same bunch that that promulgated the rule all about how filthy women people can't ride on the same same buses as good, godly, upstanding, Torah-believing Bill's Haredi men in Israel. So, you know, the next time somebody tells you about how Israel is our dearest friend in democracy in the Middle East, say, well, why do you reckon is that they got segregated buses that women can't ride? Oh, that's just freedom. Right. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's get back to Dr. Ronnie back over in Arkansas stand.
Couples, you raise your girls to be girls. Don't raise them to be anything else other than girls. If they're created by God to be a girl, then they need to be a girl.
Do not raise them above all. I mean, let's get serious here. Do not raise your no man young. Do not raise them to be aardvarks. Do not raise them to be platypi. Raise girls to be girls. And in that sentence, there's a little nugget of interest. Raise girls to be girls. And I think he speaks more than he knows when he says this. Because what he's saying is infantilize your females. Do not raise them to be strong. Do not raise them to be questioning. Do not raise them to be independent. Raise them to be submissive little puppets for whatever the men in their lives want.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Jenner, who some of you have read about, heard about, maybe followed for years, at 65 years of age, he came out recently that he was transgender. He reveals to Diane Sawyer on ABC's 2020 that he cross-dresses, that he thinks like a woman, and has all of his male parts presently. Okay.
Naturally, we had to get the mention of male parts in there because Dr. Ronnie spends a long time, a lot of time, thinking about male parts. Remember, this is the pastor of the church, for all we know, with them in the congregation, attended by the Duggars.
Cross-dresses, thinks like a woman, and has all of his male parts presently. He states, and I quote, yes, and for all intents and purposes, I am a woman. That is sad. But let me tell you what else is sad.
His bigotry? Just guessing? No.
The comments from the American culture.
Because, what, Dr. Ronnie has he's got a direct the pipeline into the NSA's Unablab 10,000 that hoovers up all of the comments of the American people, and let's find out.
Comments like, once a champion, always a champion.
Well, okay, so he wasn't a champion? She wasn't a champion? I'm not particularly proud of the fact that I said it would happen, but it has. It has taken almost no time at all, in fact, for, this just makes me feel icky, taken almost no time at all for, what's the word I'm looking for here? Assholes to demand that Caitlyn Jenner be stripped of her athletic medals. Pink News, which bills itself as Europe's largest gay news service, says a petition has been started asking the Olympic Committee to remove Caitlyn Jenner's medals. She won gold in the men's decathlon in the 1976 Olympics, as well as gold in the same event in the 1975 Pan American Games. The petition has been launched at change.org. And I don't know, has change.org taken it down yet? No answer. This story was published today. Pink News writing, the change.org petition states that as she competed in the men's event, her medal should no longer be valid since she has spoken about her identity as a woman. It says, it has recently come to light that gold medalist Bruce Jenner is in fact transgendered and therefore, well, it says transgender, and therefore identifies as a woman. We congratulate Ms. Jenner on these new developments and wish her the best. However, this creates somewhat of a problem. No, it doesn't. As Ms. Jenner, as talented as she is, claims that she has always believed herself to be truly female and therefore was in violation of committee rules regarding women competing in men's sports and vice versa. Therefore, it is with a heavy heart that we must ask whether or not it is proper that Ms. Jenner should retain her Olympic records in light of this, as we must now either claim that Bruce Jenner and Caitlyn Jenner are two entirely different people, which we know is not true, or that Bruce Jenner was, in fact, a woman participating in a man's event. It is only fair to all involved that women receive their credit as champions of the decathlon, and that the men racing Ms. Jenner are not expected to compete with a superior, streamlined being such as herself. We urge Ms. Jenner to support the transgender community by giving up the medals earned by competing against the wrong gender. Yep. Poor old Aristotle just did a few more revolutions in his grave, or the ashes. He did. And when he died, he made an ash of himself. So, no, there's no grave spinning going on. But I knew that was going to happen. Not because there's anything magic about me, but because I know just how shitty people generally are to the transgendered community. Marty tells me that the petition is still there from a Jennifer Bradford in Sorry Betsy. And my parents who live in Texas. Naturally. I mean, I wouldn't have been nearly as upset, not upset, but I wouldn't have been surprised if it had been Alabama or Mississippi, and no. There are 4,552 signatories to the Change.org petition, and why has Change.org not pulled this down? I think it's a fair question. All right, back to Dr. Ronnie.
Comments like, an American hero, yet again. Did God make him this way? Absolutely not. God.
Wait. God didn't? But he just said God did. He wants to have his cake and persecute it too. By the way, on the Jenner athletics question, in 1976, I am informed, they were scraping cells from the cheeks of athletes to determine gender, and Bruce Jenner qualified as male under those terms. The medals are his. Shut the fuck up. Exactly. And hey, change.org. that ain't the change we were hoping for. Get that piece of garbage off your website. Just saying. Look at it this way. Now that he announced that he is transgendered and is actually female, they're hers. Okay? Think of it as she inherited them from Bruce. Caitlin inherited them from Bruce. When an Olympian dies, when an Olympian dies, does the family get to inherit the medals? Yes. Do they have to give them back to the Olympic Committee? No. Consequently, shut the fuck up. Right? Right. Unless, of course, you're Jim Thorpe, who got his medals stripped from him, even though he was the greatest athlete of the early 20th century, had his medals stripped from him because he had taken money to keep himself alive by playing baseball. And baseball, of course, was not an Olympic sport, but it ruined the purity of it. Because remember, the Olympics were revived by an elite, demi-royal or some sort, you know, Sir Pustule of Snotboil or whatever. And because the leisure class was the wealth class, and so along comes this American Indian who whips all their asses, and suddenly it's not so fun anymore. Wait, he took $1.25 for playing baseball. A sales sport. Take away his medals. Oh, by Jove, that wasn't sporting at all. Right? Right. Same thing happened in, well, I mean, they didn't try to take the medals, but 1936, another non-elite, non-1%, non-demi-royal went to Berlin from the back roads and red clay of Alabama and ran rings around the little blue-eyed, blonde-haired, fair-haired Nazis that were running at the behest of 6:46 p.m. Adolf Hitler. And the little madman was so outraged at having his Aryan purity one-upped and taken out for a spin and stomped into the ground by a black man that he wouldn't even shake Jesse Owens' hands. They built a monument to Jesse Owens out in those red clay back roads of Alabama, which the good patriotic American white people then spray-painted nigger all over. Greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. I'm apparently driving Jeremy in Vermont to distraction. Bob, I need that twirly straw and some damn strong moonshine. My God, Jesus would whip the shit out of punks like this. Oh, and it'd be fun to watch, too. Let's continue.
Can make him that way. But he...
God didn't make...
Comments like, an American hero, yet again. Did God make him this way? Absolutely not. God didn't make him that way.
Well, who did? The devil? Is it demons? I don't know. This is not my theology or my dogma or doctrine. I'm licked. I mean, remember... And remember this every time, you know, you go to sneeze and somebody says, God bless you. I much prefer the German. Gesundheit, have good health. Right? But God, the reason, and this has persisted in our culture for 1,000 years probably. It just shows how these pernicious little ideas can hang on and hang on and hang on. We say God bless you to someone when they sneeze, not because... not because 1,000 years ago disease, a cold could kill you. Well, yeah, partially that too. But no, 1,000 years ago when you sneezed, all the community had been taught by the religion industry of the time, which was of course mostly the Roman Catholic Church, that when you sneeze, your soul opens up and you might just, if you're not careful, inhale a demon. Mm-hmm. And so by God blessing, whoever just sneezed, well, you know, a demon can't be around the name of God, so it would have to go, woo! Oh no, not gonna stay here, they're saying the God word! Woo! Gotta go! Goodbye now! Yeah. So, I don't know, in this creepy fuck's worldview, maybe Bruce Jenner sneezed one day, and he inhaled a transgender demon, and there was nobody there to say God bless him, and the demon took root, and the next thing you know, he's walking around in stunning cocktail frocks.
But he's got the same problem we have. We're all broken. We're broken. We've been broken, and we live in a Genesis 3 world.
No, we don't. Genesis 3 was a Bronze Age world. Okay, technically, 6th century Persia was an Iron Age world. BCE. But Genesis 3 is actually describing a Stone Age world. And we don't live in a Stone Age world. And we don't think that it rains or that it lightnings or thunders because the God is angry. I can understand the appeal of something like that, though. A couple of days ago, Monday evening, I got caught in a downpour. It rained in Beckley more in one day than it does sometimes in a month. Flash flooding. Nothing on a comparison with Texas, though. But I mean, it could be part of why I started feeling so yucky. I got absolutely soaked, and then air conditioning, not air conditioning. I don't know if anything. I never thought that kind of stuff could make you sick, but it made. Suddenly, I started feeling like crap. But at the same time that was happening, something far worse was taking place. Three boys. This is West Virginia, and boys will take most any opportunity, a lot of them, to go fishing. Because fishing is understood to be a healthy, decent, pleasant, relaxing, leisure time experience in these parts. Three boys went fishing. Just in a local pond. You know, they weren't going after the big bass or the 7-pound trout. It's just fishing. You sit on the bank and you got your bobber in the water there, and you talk about who's pretty and who's cute and who you're going to try to go out with and have you done it and that sort of thing. Maybe you talk about football or baseball or basketball. And that's when God sent the lightning bolt and killed a 17-year-old boy dead. And he critically injured another teenage boy who later died, and I haven't heard the fate of the third one. And it's not just that they were three boys, it was one of those boys was the son of a woman I know. And it's moments like this, if I may be personal, that I am glad I am not a Christian. because, and I'm glad I don't believe in great big bearded juvenile delinquents in the sky, because if I did, I would have to say, well, the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky obviously created that poor boy so that when he was a teenager, because God knows all and sees all in advance and controls all the natural forces of the universe, knowing that he would reach down and go, pfft. And that's just too vicious by half for me to stomach. The idea that people would be in church next Sunday, not a week gone by since the God did that to the children, a praising and a worshiping of him, just like Dr. Ronnie here does. Because God don't make mistakes. But see, those are the kinds of conundra that these clowns, and that's what they are, will never address. If they try, they'll dance around it, and you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And they can't, and they never go and look in the Old Testament and find out and notice that God was doing that kind of stuff all the time. Remember, some children made fun of the bald patch on a prophet's head, and God sent a bear to rip them limb from limb to teach them not to make fun of prophets' bald patches, because that's an appropriate punishment. And remember, of course, that this Levantine hate spread and informed the mindset of an entire continent and indeed an entire globe. That there's a God out there who just does stuff because he can. But again, these Jaspers won't address that. And their God, well, their God is just miraculously has the same bigotries that they do. But whenever their God does something they don't like, they come up with an excuse. I have yet to hear a minister from Texas explain why their God sent killing floods. Or why their God blew up a fertilizer plant. I have yet to hear anybody around here explain why God incinerated 29 coal miners at the Upper Big Branch disaster, most assuredly all of whom, or nearly all, were his fervent adherents. So let's wrap up here with Dr. Ronnie. Now, what you'll get is, well, them boys was electrocuted because God needed them more than we did. I'm reckoning Mama disagrees. It is much more comforting to me to understand that we live in a world that is controlled by natural processes and not some sadistic, vindictive, arbitrary, and capricious juvenile delinquent in the sky who goes around murdering teenage boys gone fishing. Things like this happen. Lightning is real. Ponds are real. Lightning is attracted to water, and to have a metal hook in water when the lightning comes along can sometimes lead to disastrous consequences. Heartbreaking consequences. Oh, Dr. Ronnie, you want to tell us some more about God not making mistakes?
And if it were not for the grace of God and twisted, but our heart needs to be to love and to care. But our heart also needs to be that we hold the truth of God in one hand and the love of God in the other. And God values from the womb to the tomb, from conception all the way to death.
Even if the death happens to be at the age of 17 because a couple of relatively innocent boys were just gone fishing, God valued them all the way down to that lightning bolt.
Someone says, well, what does that mean about abortion? I'll tell you what it means about abortion. Abortion is wrong and sinful. That's what it means.
What about lightning
bolts,
brother?
But I want to tell you that it doesn't matter whether it's abortion or euthanasia or anything between. Anytime we demean the value of human beings, we violate what God intends for that human being.
Even if God only intends to zap the human being at the age of 17 with a few, mega amperes of electricity. I'll rely on our resident electrician, Sparky, for the language on that. Even if that's all he intended. Because remember, God has foreknowledge. Predestination, baby. What if humans had it? What if on the night that poor child was conceived, Mama could have seen it all unfold, right down to the moment the lightning bolt strikes? Reckon she'd have pushed hubby out of the bed and said, "Get away. Not tonight, honey. I have a horror." You can see how the random acts of nature can be translated into a desperate need to believe in forces supernatural. Because such agony, such anguish, are actually, unless we're talking about the socio and psychopaths among us, beyond human comprehension. But you never hear their God described in such terms. Oh, no, no, no. You get this crap.
All the way to death. Someone says, well, what does that mean about abortion? I'll tell you what it means about abortion. Abortion is wrong and sinful. That's what it means. But I want to tell you today, it doesn't matter whether it's abortion or euthanasia or anything between. Anytime we demean the value of human beings, we violate what God intends for that human being.
Does that include cutting their goddamn food stamps? Demeaning the value of human beings? Does that include denying them access to basic medical care? The Medicaid expansion? Does that demean human beings? Because I'll bet you my last damn dollar that this son of a bitch goes into the voting booth and votes a near straight Republican ticket. That he votes for people who take food out of the mouths of babes. About whom his Savior wrote, or about whom his Savior is said to have said, and was then written down, "Woe to anyone who would harm these little ones who believe in me. Better that a millstone had been hung about their neck and they had been dropped into the sea." Jesus said that. Knows all, sees all, tells all, remember? Jesus said that about Dr. Ronnie, because he supports politicians who take food out of the mouths of babes and demean human life. Oh no, brother, God works in mysterious ways. We are not meant to understand his sick, twisted, and sadistic nature. Funny how Dr. Ronnie doesn't say, what does this mean about war? Well, it means some people need killing in the name of God.
It doesn't matter what the situation is. A child, a spouse, a family member. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's ISIS, Boko Haram, or any other group.
Booger, what?
It's coming against Christianity today. It doesn't matter. God can save them all. God can change them all. His grace covers them all. You know, this is going to shock some of you, and it might even be offensive to some of you, but I want to make something real clear. Bruce Jenner is just like you and me. He's just like you and me. We are born sinners and we're born broken. And we are all in need of the grace of God. And we need to understand, regardless of our past, Christ died for us.
Well, I didn't ask him to. So let's understand from Dr. Ronnie's speechifying there, he views Caitlyn Jenner living as herself, not that I give much of a damn, one way or the other. I'm just that free. But he sees that as an equivalent to a member of his flock incestuously molesting children. Oh, and by the way, again, thanks to thanks to Haley for this. In Touch magazine has published another police report. Another one. The new police report notes that Josh Duggar confessed to his father, Jim Bob Duggar, on three separate occasions to multiple acts of sexual molestation against his sisters and a family friend. The article goes on to say the document also makes clear that Josh was 15 years old when he molested his 5-year-old sister and committed at least 7 acts of sexual molestation. The report makes it clear that despite Josh's chilling confessions, the Duggars waited at least 16 months before contacting authorities about the molestations, even though the behavior was continuing and growing worse. During that period, they did not get professional counseling for Josh or his victims, and legal experts tell In Touch that Jim Bob and Michelle could have faced 6 years in prison for their inaction if the statute of limitations had not expired. At which point, if we could set the Wayback Machine for Golgotha, we would find Jesus jumping off the cross and go, "Oh no, I ain't dying for this asshole." Meanwhile, I guess a lot of people will be tuning in to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda this evening to see the puff piece, which hard-hitting investigative reporter Megyn Kelly will be doing with the Duggar family, which she has already declared will not be a cross-examination. Oh, goody. In regard to Dr. Ronnie, Michael in Madison notes, Bob, let us remember, if we don't sin, then Jesus Christ died for nothing. Come on, all you sinners. Swing. Jeremy noting, wait a minute, the goddess just spoke through this fool. He just gave an argument against the death penalty. LMAO. No, because they know who needs killing, Jeremy. That's what makes them so special. Their God tells them. So here endeth the lesson, as they say in the gospel sharp parlors. We'll take a little break, and thanks very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa for getting us started this evening. Received a lovely package from Brother Deacon Asa as well. He may not have realized it, but he just went a long way toward making a lot of people really, really happy at Doodle's graduation. And the package arrived, and, well, my youngins have a thing for our youngins. Really, really enjoy good smoked salmon. And so that will now be part of the graduation celebration on Saturday. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. And Brother Deacon Asa got us started on the evening's tithing. We got $170 to go this evening. Thank you very kindly. I hope people will follow the good deacon's example in the coming 1 hour and 50 or 51 minutes or so. All right. So you know how to reach the program. By the way, I fixed the little screw-up on the stress line. I had accidentally put the phone to sleep. Didn't realize it. What's that funny moon icon up there? Well, I'd put the phone to sleep. It's easy to do. But the stress line is now back and functioning nicely, and it will ring a nice long while, giving me a chance to turn around and actually see it ringing, which is kind of important when you've got as many plates spinning in the air as I do on any given evening. And, of course, you know the stress line is 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. You can reach the program on the other line, 304-574-8178, or you can get in Skype to Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype is the contact address. If you've never tried it that way, send me a contact request, and we'll be engaging in conversation radio before you even know what's happened. All right, break time. Bumper courtesy of Ron and Raleigh. This is Conversation Radio. Well, dang it. There we go. This is the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
drive home me insane.
Texas Blood, courtesy of Ron and Raleigh. Thank you. Good call. Good call, Ron. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn at 16 minutes past the hour. The lines are open, should you wish to participate in the conversation. And look, if you've never called a radio program before, this is the radio program. Ninth or Bagger Reader, Percher, Libertarian, Repiglic, and what, because they aren't allowed here. Absolutely not allowed. They got lots of time and lots of space to pollute elsewhere. This is a safe space. This is a place where we can feel safe and ourselves without any of the badgering, harassing, and bullying that come from the booger sphere. So if you've never called a radio program, you should probably try this one. You know the numbers, 304-574-8178. And 463-HORN, 304-663-4676. That, by the way, is the stress line. Let's go over to the other line and say, what's up?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Bob. It's Thomas.
Hey, Thomas. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Well, but, you know, I'm among
the... Yeah, I know you're not well.
I'm among the quick, and it's a binary system, the quick and the dead, and I'm among the quick, so I'm grateful.
Are you?
Me
get
too.
Better.
It's still happening. I'm. Yeah. Hopefully, I'll get better.
I just called in because Carol mentioned, "Come on, call in." But went up there. It was very crowded, very packed. A lot of people showed their appreciation for Bill. We thought highly of him. Met a woman that. Talked about Bill back in the days where she used to make up a coffee and pack a thermos and they'd go out fishing.
Oh, he loved his fishing.
I talked to Jeff. Jeff has his remains and, Bill wanted to be buried Lake Chautauqua. That's up in New York there.
Yeah.
And Jeff says he has that under control and he'll be taking care of it. So there's a lot of people that love him up here.
That was obvious from the photographs.
Yeah.
Or seemed to me.
You know, there are a lot of people. I recognize some. I couldn't put names to them. Talking about them up on stage. You know, you call them. I saw that when you tweeted out that you retweeted. Alex Bevin was there. You had Michael Stanley. I can't recall the one guy's name, but there were just so many admirers of Bill. And I was glad I was able to be there.
Well, one of the things that I found to be most cheerful, if that's the right word, they got his New Orleans brass band, didn't they?
Yeah, they did a little, and talking to Jeff, I didn't see it because I had a hard time finding a parking place up there in University Square, so we were finally able to find a place to put by because the lots all around the tavern were just packed. So we were finally
Was it a pretty good turnout?
Oh, yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, basically, I mentioned in the chat, we're packed in like sardines. You know, you could, you wouldn't even have to be overweight not to be able to see your shoelaces on your shoe. It was that tight.
Wow. How big a venue is it?
Oh, just think about my house and that. I would say it's 100 foot by going to the back. 125, something like that. And then they finally opened up the basement because they have a small bar set up there, and that's probably 20 by 30, 40 foot underneath where they have a bar set up down below. But, you know, it's a tavern. You know, you probably think back in the days, you know, what that was. You know, it's not huge, super huge, but the thing was path overflowing out the back door, overflowing out the front door on the Euclid Ave.
Awesome.
So just tons of people.
That would have tickled Bill to pieces, you know?
Yeah. Maybe you had crowds like that during the salad days. I don't know.
I think that's the thing. I think he did, and frankly, in many ways, you know, Bill talked so much on the program about how influenced he was by Mike Bloomfield, and he was in large part responsible. Bill was for a revival of the blues in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, you think Colin DeSaul? You pick up the harmonica. Where did you get that from?
There you go.
And Colin's great on a harmonica. Colin is fantastic. I've seen Colin many a times. First time I saw him was at, a Fufu place called Catawba Island Club. And it was in the middle of winter, and basically it was my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, Mo, and I were the only ones there. And there were a couple other stragglers there, but there was nobody in the room. It's like it was their entertainment budget, and they just happened to be scheduling that room. And so we were, you know, able to go up from my sister's house there and just go into Catawba Island Club, and they had the whole hall booked out, and just had Colin, and basically the four of us and a few of the stragglers I mentioned, we had, you know, we basically was just our own little private party ended up being. We didn't pay a dime for it.
Wow.
So, you know, those are just amazing. I'm sure, you know, Colin's been great for Bill, you know, so I just love that plaque that he had made up for him. And they plan on getting that installed at the Euclid Tavern. It's a grand plaque with Bill playing this harmonica on the left side, and the tribute that I'll give out. And I think it's just a fantastic dedication to him.
Beautiful. It sure would have been fun to stream it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm hoping I talked to Jeff, and he has videos. He says many other people have videos of the little march out on Euclid Avenue. Hopefully that gets posted to YouTube or something.
Oh, they walked Euclid Avenue for him too?
Yeah. So, you know, that's talking with Jeff. I didn't see it, but, you know, I'll take that for his word.
Nice.
that's my report, and that's all I wanted to call it tonight about.
Well, I appreciate it, Thomas. I'm really glad you did.
So, yeah, you get better.
I'm trying. This is not a fun time. Well, there's no fun time to be sick, but this is especially trying.
So that's all I have.
All right.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, Thomas. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Thomas, who was there representing the Horn Family Commune congregation at Mr. Stress's memorial. Both lines open, as noted, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. That, of course, the now memorialized Stress line. And we do got, well, there are, we have a rich abundance this evening. And by the way, the pictures that Thomas sent them to me from his mobile photo bucket account. Any pictures that are out there, if you don't mind, Thomas or anybody else that you know that has them, ask them to just email them to me directly so I can put them up on the Facebook page so folks can see them, please. And thank you. 25 past the hour, and yeah, we have a ton of prayer meeting Wednesday stuff here. Oh, dear, we really, really do. And remember, nobody gets a pass on this program. And with that in mind, it is worth noting, you know, almost all religions are deeply authoritarian in nature. And hence, it comes as no surprise to find out that a community organizer for the Council on American Islamic Relations in Orlando, Florida, was busted recently when he thought that the 12-year-old girl he was grooming online turned out to be the Orlando Police Department. Detectives in Polk and Lake counties rounded up 100 other people after detectives posed as children between the ages of 12 and 14, Ahmed Salim was one of those rounded up. It wasn't just Ahmed Salim. Like I said, 100 other people, including theme park workers at Universal Orlando and SeaWorld, a cast member from Disney World, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd said, if we didn't get you in this operation, you better be sure we will in the next one. We're after you. Leave our children alone. These are very dangerous people, and they are after our children. In regard to Ahmed Salim, he's the founder of the Salim Academy. That's an organization seeking to empower Muslim youth. As of today, he has been erased from the Academy's website and Facebook page, and the Council on American Islamic Relations has deleted any mention of him as well. Nobody gets a break. Nobody gets a pass. Not on prayer meeting Wednesday. Not when we take note of the pernicious effects of religion on the human experience. Which also means there's no pass for the United Talmudical Academy of Borough Park, Inc., Brooklyn, New York. Back in July 2014, Willis Baker was hired by the United Talmudical Academy as a bus driver. He was hired by Yanka Schaefer. Yanka Schaefer referred to him as my monkey friend, according to a lawsuit filed by Willis Baker. Willis Baker says, upon hearing it, he said, I just thought to myself, I really got myself into one hell of a pickle here. Of the precious little children he transported to and from the United Talmudical Academy of Borough Park, the precious lumpkins would refer to him as monkey, blackie, and stupid. They threw candy, spitballs, paper, and solid hard objects at him. There were teachers on the bus, but none of them would stop the precious children from abusing the blackie. In addition to being Yanka Schaefer's monkey friend, he was also required to clean, he had to clean his own bus because he was a bus driver, but then they also required him to clean the buses driven by the white drivers as well, who, incidentally, were neither called monkey, nor blackie, nor stupid. When Willis Baker complained about being called the monkey friend, his boss, Yanka Schaefer, said, shut up and appreciate the fact you've got a job in the first place. He worked 82 and a half hours per week. Among other things, Yanka Schaefer cheated him out of overtime, all according to the lawsuit. When Willis Baker asked Yanka Schaefer for the overtime he was due and, he was due to be paid, Yanka Schaefer said, you're lucky to have this job. Try to find work somewhere else. Greatest country in the world on earth. By the way, Yanka Schaefer denies all the allegations. Monkey friend. Blackie. Yeah. And, of course, by now, returning to the original, Dr. Ronnie's topic, we all know by now that Pastor Brother Governor Diabetes Snake Oil Salesman Presidential candidate Mike Huckabee is dancing a very thin line with the goddess of irony. You know by now, I don't know, maybe you know, what he said about Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, this man is disgusting in every sense of the word. Because, see, Pastor Brother Governor Mike Huckabee, representative of the loving and living God, well, he's having second thoughts about his youth. Now, when he was 17, he was penning op-eds for Christian publications saying that Baptists ought not dance. This happened earlier in the year at the 2015 National Religious Broadcasters Convention down in Nash Vegas. I wonder if they have to bring in extra prostitutes when something like the National Religious Broadcasters come to town, just like they have to do it when the Republican National Convention comes to town.
We are now in city after city watching ordinances that say that your seven-year-old daughter, if she goes into the restroom, cannot be offended, and you can't be offended if she's greeted there by a 42-year-old man who feels more like a woman than he does a man.
There it is, the answer, 42. Douglas Adams, peace be upon him. Yep, presidential candidate running on the potty platform.
Now, I wish someone had told me when I was in high school that I could have felt like a woman when it came time to take showers in P.E. I'm pretty sure I would have found my feminine side and said, Coach, I think I'd rather shower with the girls today.
Ho, 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 I don't care who you are, that's funny. That ain't funny. What a pig. I mean, what a disgusting imitation of a human being Mike Huckstervey is. You see, that's all it is. It's just horny little boys wanting to shower with the girls. Oddly enough, he comes from a state, Arkansas Stan, which alongside Alabama Stan and Mississippi Stan and Louisiana Stan and Georgia Stan and Tennessee Stan and South and North Carolina Stan and parts of Florida Stan and Texas Stan and Oklahoma Stan and Missouri Stan and the other Stans, which have higher rates of teen pregnancy than just about anywhere else in the new United States of America, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Which leads me to believe that there's not a problem seeing naked female flesh for horny young male horny people. And notice the opening, how he opens. Notice the origination remark, the thesis, if you will, that leads to this hateful stupidity. Did you hear the fundies? The fundies just a clapping and a laughing. I'm a skip of it, brother.
You're laughing because it sounds so ridiculous, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't sound ridiculous at all. Maybe it sounds ridiculous the way Pastor Brother Governor Snake Oil Salesman Mike Huckstervey, presidential candidate, is putting it. Because, see, there's not going to be a 42-year-old transgendered restroom attendant in every 7-year-old girl's school bathroom. Right? But the way he framed it. For those who do not think that we are under threat. Now, when I hear a phrase like under threat, I think of people with guns pointing those guns at people. I think of, I think of a world on the brink of nuclear war. I guess I think of being at the mercy of head-lopping ISIS head-loppers who aren't the good head-loppers like our friends and partners in peace, the Saudi Arabians, but are in fact the bad head-loppers. Under threat? Well, I think about the horrors brought on by the ravages of climate change, in which, you know, a whole bunch of Texas winds up underwater that isn't usually. I think about an entire state that is and has been in drought conditions for years. I think about a nation whose infrastructure is crumbling. Bridges, roads, railroads, highways, byways, electrical grids. That's a threat. I don't equate being under threat with who goes potty where. And not to be too gross about things, but given what I've been through in the last 3 days, RuPaul could be in my bathroom, and I would not give a good goddamn about her, or him, when the urge struck. And I would run over anybody standing in the doorway. Gay, straight, male, female. That particular space in human existence has a particular purpose. But because these evangelical fundamentalists are such unutterable perverts, all they can think is about sexy time between 42-year-olds and 7-year-olds, while at the same time exonerating incestuous abuse between a 15-year-old and a 5-year-old sister.
Now, I wish someone had told me when I was in high school that I could have felt like a woman when it came time to take showers in P.E. I'm pretty sure I would have found my feminine side and said, Coach, I think I'd rather shower with the girls today. You're laughing because it sounds so ridiculous, doesn't it? And yet...
I mean, it's ridiculous that people would use the potty for potty and not be worried all about... who's got what sexual plumbing? No, that's not the ridiculous part. The ridiculous part for Pastor Governor Brother Snake Oil Salesman Presidential Candidate Mike Huckabee is that people only use the potty for pottying. For all we know, the Pastor Brother Governor Snake Oil Salesman Presidential Candidate, As much time as he spends worrying about it, maybe he met his wife there. And you do not want. I'm going to give it to you, but you do not want. I mean, this is like when I say Calliope to Tim from L.A. You do not want the visual in your mind of Mike Huckabee naked. You don't want it, but you just got it. Live with it.
Today, we're the ones who are ridiculed and scorned because we point out the obvious, that there's something inherently wrong with forcing little children to be a part of this social experiment.
Yeah, forcing them. Forcing them! Forcing them in the name of Jesus! Can you imagine? Little children, Mandrake. Forcing them! Now, honey, this is a transgendered person. Okay, you're going to go to the bathroom with her. Him. I mean, we have to call him because he's not really a her. He's a him. And you just go, this transgendered person is going to take you to the bathroom and be an abomination unto you. What goes through these misanthropes' minds? On the other hand, drop precious lump can ought to be babysat by Josh Duggar. No problem! Because he's been washed in the blood of Christ. Which, by the way, for anybody, you know, for isn't that a disgusting analogy? Or a metaphor, rather. It's not an analogy. There's no like in there. It's a metaphor. Isn't the idea of being washed in blood, the blood of anything, just disgusting to you? And by the way, a little religious history here. As with every other part of Christianity, they didn't come up with that by themselves. Just like they bogarted Christmas and the spring fertility celebrations that became Easter. Well, they bogarted that whole washed in the blood thing, too. The Mithras cult was really, really big among the legionaries of the empire. And soldiers can be a superstitious lot when you're involved in things wherein life can become wherein the difference between the quick and the dead can be a rather blunt cut. Archaeological digs and artifacts discovered have shown that the Roman legionaries were a pretty superstitious bunch, and many of them joined various and sundry cults, one of which was the Mithras cult. And the Mithras cult, of course, centered on a bull. And a full-fledged paying member of the Mithras cult would stand in a pit over which would be placed boards with cracks in them, as best we can understand. You know, not cracks in the boards, but, you know, spaces between the boards. And a bull would be brought forward. Imagine how much of a legionary's pay it would take to buy a damn bull. Maybe, I don't know how it worked. Maybe several legionaries would go in on a bull. But they'd all stand in the pit, or one guy would stand in the pit, and they would bring the bull out, and they would slit the bull's throat, and the bull would die there on the boards and bleed into the pit, so that the legionary or any initiate into the Mithras cult would then be, everybody, washed in the blood. I know. Disgusting. And we don't have any problem. Ask any evangelical fundamentalist. Tell them about the Mithras cult and how that's sick! Yeah, but you claim to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Well, that's different! That means I'm saved and got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. That ain't sick. That's salvation. Yeah. Well, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's keep at it. Let's run over to North Carolina stand. And let's have a little chat about Pastor Brother Governor, or no, Pastor Minister Brother Scott Carpenter. He's the interim pastor, because they're trying to find him a full-time pastor, at Temple Baptist Church. And for some reason or another, because especially in the South, this is a big deal, you always have to invite some gospel sharp to speak to the graduating seniors of a high school. I'm sure it will be no different on Friday evening, as I'll have to listen to some gospel sharp intone about Jeebus and stuff before they hand my darling youngest daughter her diploma. I have promised to behave myself. Going back to the Mithras story real quick. Ron and Raleigh's working the comedy side of the street. Really, Bob? I'm going to have to call Bull on that one about the Mithras business. See what I did there? Yup. Oh. Yeah, you'll smoke a turd in hell for that one, Ron. If there was one. Luckily, there's not. Hey, by the way, thank you. Thank you, Kevin, in Colorado Springs, very kindly. You have just jumped in alongside Brother Deacon Asa as we try to raise this evening's fundraising amount. We have $145 to go on that now. And thanks also to Chris for the have a rerun on me to help us cover Friday. Thank you very kindly, Chris. And Kevin, and Brother Deacon Asa. All right, back to North Carolina. Some coffee breaks over, back on your head. Kings Mountain High School was having their graduation, and for some reason, they invited Pastor Scott Carpenter to do the preachifying to the graduating class. Let's go to WBTV for the report, shall we? That would be Fox, Carolina 21.
Parents say a pastor took advantage of an opportunity when speaking to high school graduates because he could. Parents contacted WVTV angry over anti-gay messages delivered by this pastor during last night's baccalaureate service at Kings Mountain High School. Tonight, Equality NC is investigating, and that pastor says he has no regrets. WVTV's Sarah Blake Morgan is investigating from Kings Mountain.
Parents I spoke to tell me their senior's accomplishments were overshadowed by a hateful message, but the pastor who delivered it tells me his motives were just the opposite.
Do I hate anybody? Absolutely not. I just love them too much to not tell them the truth.
What?
See, there goes the truth taking another whipping. I just love them too much to not tell them the truth about how Jesus loves them so much he's going to have his daddy throw them into an eternal lake of fire if they don't quit all that gay stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't you just love Christianity?
Pastor Scott Carpenter calls truth can be summed up as something else to this Kings Mountain parent.
This is bullying.
Chuck Wilson was floored when he caught wind of the anti-gay message delivered during his daughter's senior baccalaureate service. Students tell WBTV they were told if they were gay, they would go to hell.
It's a public school. There are children here. I think that there should be some level of responsibility on the speaker coming in to not take advantage of a captive audience.
Wilson says dozens of...
What do you think every church congregation in the damn world is? It's a captive audience. If you don't come here when you die, God loves you so much, he's going to throw you into his lake of fire to torment you for all eternity for not listening to me. I'm selling them. I got the tickets here. I'm going to sell you a ticket out of hell and into heaven. Captive audience.
Parents and students were offended by Carpenter's message, but this local preacher has no regrets, standing by his decision to speak what he calls the biblical truth.
I mentioned something that hit a nerve with a lot of people, and they've reacted to it.
Well, that clears all of that up, doesn't it? See, not that I believe in violence or anything, but what you do is you get hold of this fucker, and you tar and feather him, and you run him out of town on a rail. Well, not literally. But you and then he can go somewhere else and say, "See, they persecuted me for giving the message of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." No, that's not persecution at all. It's saying that your hate is not welcome in that community. But you know what? He consented to an interview while sitting in the sanctuary of Temple Baptist Church. And there's lots of pews in there. And come Sunday, there'll be a whole bunch of them. Just a hosannin' and a praying and a hootin' and a hollering about how he's being persecuted for his faith in Jesus. When, I'll simply remind you, Jesus never said so much as a blessed word about, homosexuality. So let's go back and hear a little bit more about his love. Worry about these preachers when they talk about their love.
Much of a captive audience.
Wilson says dozens of parents and students were offended by Carpenter's message, but this local preacher has no regrets, standing by his decision to speak what he calls the biblical truth.
I mentioned something that hit a nerve with a lot of people, and they've reacted to it. But the argument that was not the place. Well, yeah, if in a religious environment, a venue like that, baccalaureate, that was the place.
He said.
No, it wasn't, you dick. It's a place for uplifting the graduates for their successful completion of the academic program, not to moralize your bullshit hate onto people who don't share that with him.
You dick!
Exactly. Maybe next time. I'm not sure how far Kings Mountain High School is from Durham, North Carolina. I don't have my map in front of me. But may I humbly suggest that maybe for the next time they do one of these things, that they might invite the Reverend Marilyn Bowens from the Metropolitan Community Church. We talked to her here on the program. Maybe they might want to invite her to come and speak to the matriculating students, because you know what? I'll bet, even as a minister, I'll bet she would deliver a message of hope and strength and uplift and unity instead of telling people that they was a-going to hell for however it was that God done made them, or maybe it was a demon.
Says that because the message was given during a Christian baccalaureate service that was not organized by the school. It was optional for students, but Wilson says that does not matter.
It just simply was an inappropriate topic for a baccalaureate service.
Was I trying to be mean-spirited? Absolutely not.
I wasn't trying. I was just doing it. It comes natural to me in the name of Jesus!
Was I trying just to hurt somebody's feelings? Absolutely not.
It just comes naturally to me under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
I simply had to do what I had to do as a Christian minister.
The Kings Mountain seniors will walk across the stage later this week, which this parent hopes isn't overshadowed by a divine debate.
All that gets washed aside when someone comes in and starts putting people down.
Cleveland County Schools tells me they only provide the venue. They have no hand in choosing the speakers, and that is left up to local religious leaders. They say going forward, however, they may be more cautious in the planning process.
They may. Not they will, but they may. Big difference. So let's look at the background to this. So you've got a public high school that has a baccalaureate service at a gospel sharp emporium. Well, I think we could probably say that constitutionally we should probably get rid of that now, shouldn't we? Reckon there was even one Muslim in that group? Reckon there was one Jew in that group? One Sikh? One Hindu? One Buddhist? One Baha'i? Well, they get around that by saying attendance is not mandatory, but that's like saying the Pledge of Allegiance is not mandatory and the child can go stand in the hall. Because, you know, all the other little kids show up to the thing and they, well, where's Ahmed? And little Jacob. We've been going to school together for 12 years. Oh, they didn't come because they're going to hell. Because they're not Christian. And then there's the fact that the public school system leaves it up to the local gospel sharp emporium to determine who's going to do the preachifying and speechifying. Anybody? Establishment clause? Yeah. By the way, and this is just one of those questions that guys ask sometimes because we don't go in the other restrooms. Marty has a question for the members of the Horndonista community who are womans. A question for the women folks listening. Don't the public women's restrooms have stalls with doors? Haven't been in a women's loo, Marty says. Eh, some do, some don't. Because I'm married to a woman. And I've got three womans for daughters, and they'll tell you anything you want to know. All right. So now this is a horror, and it's not often we get to point to Hinduism for disgusting concepts. But they're there, too. Or perhaps we would argue that this is cultural and not religious. I don't know. But in an interview in the Times of India, a documentarian by the name of Deepthi Tadanki told the paper that she's making a new film called Satyavati. And that in the course of making that documentary, she learned things that she really didn't necessarily want to know. She found, among other things, what she called shocking real-life instances of corrective rape on gay people in Bangalore, India. When I was researching on this subject for my film, I came across two gut-wrenching stories of corrective rape, one where a gay girl was raped by her cousin so that she could be cured of homosexuality, and another where family members forced a gay boy to have sex with his mother in a bid to turn him straight. Neither of the victims would talk about the incidents on camera for reasons that we can well imagine. Sadly, Deepthi Tadanki says it'll be years before society will tackle, even begin to try to tackle the issue. She says, I wrote to NGOs who work with victims of such hate crimes seeking help with statistics, but to my surprise, not one organization got back with me. Many rapes go unreported in India, and it will take years before something like corrective rape even gets talked about. And we thought and we thought ex-gay therapy was bad in America. That's why I wanted to tell this story, she said. I knew it's a sensitive subject, something that's never been dealt with before. I didn't even have any statistics, but I had the conviction. She found one instance in which a lesbian couple had corrective rape plotted against both women, both girls, because they were suspected of having an unnatural relationship. Corrective rape. How long before the Christians picked this one up? Or maybe they have. That is a horror of a story. Just the bare mention of it is horrifying. Maybe it was the fever. Or maybe it's just my old DJ nature gone too far. But I read that story, and I was trying to come up with a bumper. And I went to find... I typed into the search box, dueling banjos on sitar. Because I figured somebody had done it, but no, I couldn't find it on the interweb tubes. You know what I got, though? When I typed in dueling banjos on sitar, I got this, which is just kind of mind-blowing. You know what those are? And this is because the internet is an amazing thing sometimes. I just figured somewhere in his career, Ravi Shankar had probably done dueling banjos on sitar. I mean, if I was a sitar player, I'd work dueling banjos into the repertoire. You know what that was, though? That was dueling Tesla coils. Because internet. Oh, and look. Thank you, Carol. An American general has already suggested that Lebanese musician female soldiers be given some corrective rape to get them to stop their Lebanese-ness. Of course they have. Of course. Also from the Department of
You Dick!
Yes. Bro Fromix is still mad at Pope Frank. As I learned from reading Charlie Pierce, and I mean, I knew one. I have friends. Please, I've got friends who were educated in Jesuit institutions of higher learning, and they all seem uniformly not pleased, but they're proud of the inquisitive nature of the Jesuit educations they received. And Charlie Pierce pointed out that Pope Frank is a Jesuit and actually holds a master's degree in chemistry. Which means he's a scientist and a pope. We'll just kind of let that sit there. But Rick Santorum, whom, if anyone asks, will tell you he's not a scientist, because Republicans say that real good. I'm not a scientist, but I think that global climate change, a global warming thing. Jesus! Well, Bro Fromix has trafficked and done business a lot on his Roman Catholicness, and he needs for America to understand that he's a better Catholic than the Pope is. So he went on this radio program on a radio station called WPHT with a guy by the name of Dom Giordano and lashed out against Pope Frank because Jesus. No, really.
Well, then, Senator, welcome back in a new role again, or new as old again. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Dom. It's great to be on the show again. And, I wish you were out in Butler, Pennsylvania with us last week. Last time I was together with you, we were talking about my book, Blue Collar Conservative, and that's what we launched on. We talked about the importance of getting American workers back to work, and particularly in manufacturing, construction, and the opportunities that creates for a stronger middle of America. And so I'm real excited. Would have loved to have you there.
Well, one of these times we'll have to do it, because I think you're right. This is something Republicans have to tackle and talk about.
Yep.
I would almost analogize what you're doing here to what Rand Paul is doing in another arena. You're staking out something that Republicans have not talked about enough, and I don't agree, as you know, with every point you make, but we're better off with the debate, just as he's staking out another area that Republicans really haven't made the case. But I'm looking at Rick Santorum with a piece of coal at Politico. Holding it up. Was that from the presidential speech?
Actually, yeah, that was. That was from our announcement. I started out my speech saying, this is a piece of bituminous coal. I said, this is how my American story started. And I talked about my grandfather, mining coal. And I said that but he didn't come to America for this, which is that piece of coal I held up. He came for, I said he came for this, and I held up a folded American flag. He came for freedom. And, what people are looking for in America today is the opportunity to live that American dream, to be free and to be safe and to be prosperous. And that dream for millions of Americans is,
Does that freedom include taking fetuses home and scaring your children with them? Apparently in Rick Santorum's world, it does. Oh, baby loves you. Oh, mommy, I'm having the bad dreams again. Yeah, actually, Rick, he did come for the coal. He didn't come for religious freedom because, well, he was Italian, and he was that was a Catholic state, and he was everybody can be as Catholic as you want to be in Italy. Freedom. Yeah, he came so he'd have 29 different choices and breakfast cereal. Freedom.
has been a very, very much of a nightmare as opposed to a real dream. And I talk about the 40% of the 74% of Americans who don't have college degrees, who don't think the American dream is really available to them anymore, because the jobs that we're creating in America are not the ones that people can rise as easily. And the key to that is to make us competitive again in these areas like manufacturing and construction, and we're doing a good job on energy, but that's been supporting this economy now for the last 3 or 4 years. And you've seen when energy prices dip and energy drilling goes down and all the energy economy is hurting, what happened?
How about that? He was talking energy, and I'm thinking, well, maybe there's a little bit of non-weirdness about bro-fro mix. But then it turns out energy drilling. Not energy turbining or energy solar collecting. Now, same old asshole.
A one-quarter recession. So,
well, let's talk about some of the mechanisms of this. That's what I'm interested.
Yeah, skip a bit, brother.
For good. Those are the kinds of look at those things, and we can either stop doing bad things, repeal some of the bad things that we've done, and get our tax situation in place.
Like letting poor people go to the doctor. That's one of those bad things we've done, I'm sure.
Combine that with trade laws that actually create a level playing field for us, not tilted in favor of the other side. Those are the things that we've laid out in Blue Collar Conservative, the book, but we've also laid out programs that are not controversial, that have worked in the past, and we're doing so, in my mind, for more political grandstanding than real problems that have been proven to be in the case in the Patriot Act. I don't think there's no one's.
Brother. Let's find the Popey part.
Compelled to join them, not just in Syria, not just in Iraq, but here in the United States. And I think that's what the president hasn't done a very good job of explaining, that this pity-pat war that we're fighting by flying 14 sorties a day, dropping only a third of those airplanes are dropping any kind of bombs. We have very few people over there. We're not
dropping enough bombs on the brown people, damn it! What would Jesus do?
Not supplying the Kurds. We're not helping the Jordan. We're not doing anything real to try to win this war. Yet we say we're fighting, and when we say we're fighting, and they beat us, this gives enormous credibility to ISIS. So we're actually.
Time out, Jack. Time out. I thought these were the people who said USA, 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 and said we had the greatest military in the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. And was forever talking about our warriors, our heroes, and all of a sudden he's pissing all over fighter pilots and bomber pilots. Oh hell, a third of them ain't even dropping no bombs on no brown people. I wonder if you were to play how we're getting butts kicked by ISIS. I wonder what would happen if you played that in the ready room again of the USS Theodore Roosevelt over there launching sorties against ISIS. Shitty old pilots. Yeah. Hey. Bro fro mix. Let's see. No, never mind. I bet they don't take too kindly to them. No, I bet they don't.
Actually, by engaging as little.
Or, as Steve just noted, writing in from New York City, okay, tell that sumbitch to get a gun and head on over. No, Steve, you misunderstand. He's a thinking warrior, not a warrior and warrior. God wants him to fight the war against the fetus killers. War.
Little as we are, we're actually doing more harm than if we did nothing. And that's the problem I have.
In
the future.
I think they're much more of a threat than Al-Qaeda for any number of reasons. They're rock stars.
They're rock stars? I said, hey, you get off of my Ramadi. What?
Some local snipers, and I think they're gunning for you and a couple of other Catholics, are already ratcheting up Pope Francis.
Here we go.
when we say we're fighting and they beat us, this gives enormous credibility to ISIS. So we're actually, by engaging as little as we are, we're actually doing more harm than if we did nothing. And that's the problem I have.
In
the future.
I think they're much more of a threat than Al-Qaeda for any number of reasons. They're rock stars. Here, some local snipers, and I think they're gunning for you and a couple of other Catholics, are already ratcheting up Pope Francis visiting in September.
Oh, by the way, and thanks for the eliminationist rhetoric there, Dom Giordano's. See, Bro-Fromix really is in danger because there are people, there are snipers gunning for Rick Santorum. He wouldn't be worth a fucking bullet.
Here in Philadelphia, Senator. And he may put out an...
How about ex-senator who got the shit kicked out of him by 17 points the last time he ran? How about that, Dom?
...cyclical by then on so-called climate change and on the issue of immigration. I wanted listeners to hear from you what your stance has been around. We talked about Pope Francis with you a couple times.
Well, you know, I love Pope Francis. I mean, I think he's a... If you read all of his weekly addresses, and you read all the things that he's saying, and obviously the focus in coming to Philadelphia with the centrality of the family and the importance of the family, the perception that the media would like to...
A verb, Rick. We'd like a verb.
...give of Pope Francis and the reality are two different things.
You know, I can't help but find it a little bit interesting that... Rick Santorum wants us to all understand he is America's best Catholic. But you would think, and understand, this is a little bit of a distinction that's kind of tough for Protestants because, well, you know, if you're a raised Baptist like I am, you're suspicious of all that Mary worshiping and everything. But if you tell if you tell a Protestant about papal infallibility, which is a concept over there. I mean, it's theirs, not anybody else's. Uninformed, and I certainly was once upon a time, your average uninformed Protestant will think that that means that the Pope can do no wrong. That if he trips on a crack in the sidewalk, he did so infallibly, and that he did not walk improperly, he meant to do that, which is not what it means. Papal infallibility is the concept that the Pope is infallible in his pronouncements relative to the workings and doings and thinkings and believings of the Church. So when this encyclical comes out, and it hasn't, but when it does, it will be, because it's an encyclical, it's not a papal letter or a papal postcard, it's not quite a bull. I think bulls are better than encyclicals. But it's serious. It's an encyclical. And it will be an infallible encyclical. It's kind of like a fatwa. You have to take it as the absolute straight skinny. It's the real deal. It is a direct policy statement by the head of the Church about the Church. Am I pretty close, Steve, in New York? Have I got it there? I had this all explained to me once upon a time by a Jesuit-trained, brilliant man I know. If the encyclical comes out and says human beings and Roman Catholics must act to abate climate change, we can't stop it now, but we can abate it. If it says something like that, that means it becomes law. Okay, Steve telling me the Pope must speak ex cathedra for it to be infallible. That means, is an encyclical deemed to be ex cathedra? From the seat of the... Yeah, right. But apparently, America's best Roman Catholic, Rick Brofromix Santorum, who for the second time in 4 years is out there exploiting the moldering bones of his granddaddy. I guess that doesn't count. Okay, Steve says the Pope has spoken infallibly just three times. I would think that the climate and the future of humanity on the planet would be one of those times to speak infallibly. But you know, that's me, and I don't know the secret handshake, and I don't have the lodge card. But Rick's got some Brofromix has got some advice. Okay, so. The Immaculate Conception and the Assumption of Mary are infallible statements. Okay. So it won't be infallible. All right. I live. I learn. I don't have a lodge card, but it's nice to know.
...critical by then on so-called climate change and on the issue of immigration. I wanted listeners to hear from you what your stance has been around. We talked about Pope Francis with you a couple times.
Well, you know, I love Pope Francis. I mean, I think he's a if you read all of his weekly addresses and you read all the things that he's saying, and obviously the focus in coming to Philadelphia with the centrality of the family and the importance of the family.
When blithe were the smarmy toves and the mome graps outgraved when Brillig was. See, what he's doing here is he's vamping. That's why there's no verb. He's trying it because he knows this is going to get picked up, and he knows he has these monstrous ambitions that tell him that he's the only one who can save America, and he's got to square it all in his head. And by the way, the noise in the background is not me moving around in the studio. That's apparently Rick Santorum reaching for his cross or his rosary or his lucky rabbit's foot to get him out of this pickle because he knows. It's not the question of whether he's going to stick his foot in his mouth. The question is how he's going to get the other one in there with it. And he knows it's coming. Because I personally think the goddess of irony just keeps a tracking, like a little RFID chip on him, and every now and then just reaches down and tweak, you know, right on his little hypocritical right-wing disgusting nose.
The perception that the media would like to give of Pope Francis and the reality are two different things. That he is someone who's committed to the nuclear family, as I am. I talked about that a lot in my speech in Butler, Pennsylvania. Is that this is the core of society, and we have to have a healthier nuclear family in America and across the world. So I'm a huge fan of his and his focus on making sure that we have a healthier society. And one that's, look, I as you know, Dom, I mean, David Brooks wrote an article in 2006.
You know you're in trouble when, by the way, we still don't have a verb here. And you know you're in trouble when you go running off to David Brooks for your for your justification. I mean, this he is, honest to God, Brofromix here is like one step away from speaking Reformed Kenyan.
Again, before my election, and that I lost, saying, you know, it's going to be a sad thing because every single anti-poverty measure that took place in the United States Senate over the last 12 years had Rick Santorum's name on it, and that was a conservative initiative to make things better for the poor. I understand and I sympathize and I support completely.
Well, you want to bet he's lying there about his support for the poors, because you know some of those poors are blah people. And he didn't want them getting, remember, he said he didn't want the blah people getting people's tax dollars? Yeah.
The Pope's call for us to do more to create opportunities for people to be able to rise in society.
No, goddammit, that's not what he said at all. He said that capitalism is eating the planet. Not to create opportunities. You know, sorry, Rick. But Pope Frank is not a trickle-down economist. Yeesh. We're going to get a verb yet. You might be interested to know what the verb is.
And care for the poor. That's our obligation as a society.
We're agreed.
The question is how we do it.
Right. I'm talking about the climate issue. Would you see that? When does it become, in your mind, a matter of faith and morals? That's what all this is about here in Philadelphia, what people are talking about.
I would just say this, that, you know, the church has gotten it wrong a few times on science.
Wait. Stop it. Huh? The church has gotten it wrong a few times on science. Would you include the burning of witches in that getting it wrong on science part? Galileo, obviously, they got it wrong on science. But this is a church now, and even under the Nazi Pope, the guy who retired, Benny. This is a church that embraces and you know, despite the other icky things like the misogyny and the homophobia and the absolute refusal to allow vagina people to be priests and telling men that they can't wear a little latex thingy to keep from transmitting HIV in places where HIV is burning up entire continents. You know, that's getting it wrong on science. But I'll bet you that on the latex thingy on the penises, I'll bet you that's not one of those places where Bro-Fro-Mix thinks the church has gotten it wrong on science. I'm just betting. But the church has gotten it wrong on science, he says.
And I think that you know, we probably are better off leaving
right.
science to the scientists and focusing on what we do, what we're really good at, which is theology and morality. And
so we're going. But isn't that what we expect Pope Frank to say? Leave science to the scientists. Follow the science that the scientists tell us is science, and not sit there denying the obvious. And continue to burn every hydrocarbon we can find so as to heat up the planet sufficiently to make it impossible for human beings to live. And, of course, yes, there is a focus on poverty and poor people's issues. And, by the way, the only poor people who matter, Rick Santorum, are not just the poor people in Merca, the greatest country on Earth now for today forever. Amen. There's poor people all over the planet. And one of the things that Pope Frank has said in expectation of this encyclical is that poor people are paying the price for the ignorance and willful disregard of science manifested by the very rich. He's saying that. He said that. So being a scientist himself, I mean, when they elevated him to the See of St. Peter, they did not require him to check his brain at the door before he put on the great big House of Whoville hat. No. It is, in fact, Rick Santorum who is unwilling to leave science to the scientists because he wants to inject believing into the climate issue. Not the climate debate. There's no goddamn debate left except among people who are paid to say that there's a debate. But into the science itself. Do continue, Bro-Fro-Mix.
And I think when we get involved with political and controversial scientific theories, then I think the church is probably not as forceful and credible. And I think it actually, and I've said this to the Catholic bishops many times when they get involved in agriculture.
Wait. Stop. Controversial science. The only reason climate change has any controversy about it at all is because there are people, again, who are paid and are paid handsomely to deny climate science despite the overwhelming amount of data in support of it. It is difficult to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it. That is a fact. And the Koch brothers write a shit ton of paychecks that purchase that controversy, that purchase that debate, that purchase that ignorance. And the entire oil, gas, and coal industries are predicated upon ignorance. That people, in the name of money, will keep themselves willfully ignorant from the fact that they are participating in the destruction of the ecosystem which supports human life on Earth. And that is the side, that is the position that is supported by this pathetic demagogue.
Policy or things like that that are really outside of the scope of what the church's really main message is, that we're better off sticking to the things that are in, that are really the core teachings of the church, as opposed to getting involved in every other kind of issue that happens to be popular at the time.
Yeah, because, see, the only reason Pope Frank has gotten involved in climate change is because it happens to be an issue that is popular at the time. Sometimes there's just no such thing as too much of a good thing.
You dick!
Yeah. And sadly, I think we will be up to our eyeballs in Rick Santorum's dickishness until at least June of 2016. Let's stick around in Pennsylvania, though, for a moment. Let's talk for a minute about Daniel Allen. No, I'm sorry, Daniel Allen Jack. Daniel Allen Jack of the Pittsburgh area is 31 years old, and he is the youth pastor at Amplify Church. Now, just by the very name, you know what that is. It's some sort of mega church or wannabe mega church. I mean, there's Frisbees and Wheat Checks Church, Awesome Church, Amplify Church, Heart Church, Excellent Church, and they're all the sort of non-denominational cults of personality with the great big jumbotrons and a sound system that would make the Who weep. Well, Daniel Allen Jack of Amplify Church is their youth pastor. Mm-hmm. And as youth pastor, he was accused of rape, of course, because evangelical fundamentalist Christianity. A girl joined the church youth group in December 2014, and Daniel Allen Jack was the youth pastor. He started out with her by text messaging her as an attempt to gain her trust. Yeah. Then he went to Google and created some fake identities And then he gave her a cell phone, secondary to the one she already had, so that they could talk privately. Interestingly, one of the provisions of the Patriot Act that, as the New York Times described it, temporarily expired Sunday night. One of those provisions allowed the National Security Agency to, and I don't understand the technology behind this, to track people who use and dispose of cell phones in order to keep from being tracked. Apparently they can't do that. Apparently somehow the NSA, but the NSA apparently was unable to track Daniel Allen Jack when he was grooming this girl to be raped. According to the criminal complaint, he took the girl to his parents' house. And it was there that he made his move, as it were, attempting to have sex with the girl. This is really disgusting. I know. I'm sorry. He started heterosexually kissing and a smollicking and a touching of her. And that's when she started crying and refused to participate further. He all-babied her for a while. And she still refused. And that is when, and the report comes from Raw Story, David Edwards, the writer, published today. That is when, and this is the language from the Raw Story account, he allegedly held her on the floor and forcibly raped her. Just a little copy editing advice. We can pull a Mark Twain and remove the adverb. We can remove the forcibly. All rape. Every rape. Any rape is forcible. Otherwise, we're back in Todd Akin land. But she refused to, when she refused to have sex with Daniel Allen Jack, he raped her. Apparently, she was about 16 years old when it began. And somewhere along the way, the defense claims that she consented to sex with Daniel Allen Jack, six times. The whole thing came to light May 11th. That's when the girl's mama called the police and said her daughter was missing and that she'd left a suicide note. State troopers found her and in the course of finding her found out that youth pastor Jack had picked her up and took her to a shack in what is described as a wooded area. Enter defense counsel Robert Milnicki, interviewed by WPXI. Defense counsel Robert Milnicki said, look at the affidavit. She says he raped her, but then she had consensual sex with him six times after that. After practicing law for 23 years, I cannot rule out that anything is possible, but that seems strange to me. I only learned Mr. Jack was being charged yesterday and saw the complaint for the first time today at the arraignment. My client is absolutely shocked at the allegation that he forcibly raped this girl. Again with the forcible. Here's a bonus. Yes, he was immediately canned by Amplify Church. But he also had another job. He was a technology employee at Kiske Area School District. He is presently on administrative leave, one presumes paid, pending the investigation's outcome. And here's a real ha-ha. No, there's no ha-has in this. You know what rape of a 16-year-old by a 31-year-old youth pastor gets you in the way of bail in western Pennsylvania? $50,000. Now, within the terms of most bail situations, that means he posted, maybe went to a bail bondsman and paid him $5,000 cash, or somebody did, and he's back on the streets. Free as a bird. You know, until the indictment, until the trial, until the verdict. But we can already tell what kind of sleazy defense is going to be mounted. Well, sure, she was a 16-year-old girl, and she's lying. She's lying about him raping her because she went on and had sex with him 6 more times. You know, I'm so glad we can believe the Republican Party when they tell us there's no war on women in this country and that there's no rape culture. Can you imagine how awful this place would be if there was one? Yeah, me neither. And, of course, if you want to find a viperous den of rape, well, look no further than your local gospel emporium. Hey, maybe pastor, governor, brother, presidential candidate, snake oil salesman Mike Huckstermey can post on Facebook about how he stands beside Wayne and Jack. Nah, because there's no money involved in that. Well, going back to the issue of infallibility, I've got some definitive conditions here from Steve about it. Encyclicals remain very important teaching documents. No pope since 1870 has designated an encyclical as an exercise of papal infallibility, which requires 3 conditions. 1, the subject is a matter of faith or morals. 2, the pope must be teaching as supreme pastor. And 3, the pope must indicate that the teaching is infallible. Well, that doesn't seem like too high a hurdle. Let's see. Is it moral to continue to, in the name of the prophets of less than 1% of the occupants of the planet, is it moral to make the planet uninhabitable for the other 99%? Answer, no. Hey, look, it's a subject of morals. 2, the pope must be teaching as supreme pastor. Well, only he can say that. And 3, he's got to say it's infallible. You know, to the extent that Frank is out there just screwing with the right-wingers and the fascists and the 1%ers now, I'd almost bet. I mean, well, not bet, but, you know, He's tweaking them a lot. Wouldn't it be fun to see him declare, maybe in Philadelphia, that the encyclical's infallible? Then again, maybe he likes to, even though, you know, he's an elderly gentleman, most popes are, maybe he would like to go on living on planet Earth for a little while longer, even as the Earth heats up and makes it harder to be human. You don't think that ExxonMobil and Royal Dutch Shell and Peabody Coal and who's that outfit who named the basketball dome where they play in Oklahoma City? You don't think they'd put a hit out on the pontiff for doing something like that? Meanwhile, with regard to this from Tim from L.A., Daniel Allen Jack of Amplify Church is guilty. He's an evangelical minister, so throw his ass in prison for rape so he can get raped. Yet the lefty in me, though, says in Pennsylvania the age of consent is 16 years old, and according to Raw Story, the girl was 16 at the time. That's for statutory rape, not for rape. Thing is, the state needs to prove intent that he raped her six times. No, it needs to prove that the intent, according to the complaint, that he raped her once. Yes, there can be physical damage, but the pastor can say, well, she wanted it rough and it was consensual. Two things need to happen. Raise the age of consent to 18. Place restrictions on sex with a person of the cloth like they do to physicians. I mean, if I were on the jury, I would have a very hard time throwing his ass in jail because it's hard to prove. If it's a he said, she said, and sadly, how many 16-year-olds do you know can defend themselves during a cross-examination? Which makes the young woman all the more amazing for having come forward. You think after he raped her the first time that she might have just said, well, what's done is done, until she got to the point of suicide? That lawyer must be a real humdinger. Oh, by the way, speaking of moral issues, this one's rather interesting. Down in Kentucky, just across the river from almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, who have had their Social Security benefits suspended. The Social Security Administration admits it suspended benefits for 900 people after congressional investigators accused Kentucky Attorney Eric C. Kahn and David B. Daugherty, a former Social Security Administration administrative law judge, of fraud in 1,500 cases. The way the con worked, according to the SSA, is that Eric C. Kahn, the lawyer, had a fleet of doctors that he would use to lie about disability, and then Administrative Law Judge Daugherty would assign the cases to himself. So then the Social Security Administration reviewed, and according to Lavinia J. Lavelle, spokesperson for the SSA, said that approximately 1,500 people were not eligible for benefits based on the remaining evidence in the case file once the bullshit doctor testimony was excised. Now, meanwhile, there are rules in the Social Security Administration about how you go about taking away someone's Social Security benefits. And uh, the claim is that these 900 people who have had their benefits cut off have been deprived of due process because each individual was not afforded a hearing. They were just cut off. One of the lawyers at the center of this, as opposed to the lawyer in the Pittsburgh area, who says, how could it be rape? She had sex with him 6 more times. Well, over in Floyd County, which is, of course, in eastern Kentucky, where, in point of fact, Social Security is a necessary staple of life, much as it is all over West Virginia, because of the century and a half of abuse of the human population of the region. Well, Ned Pillersdorf says there's a problem. He said, I'm very concerned about some of the extremely distressed messages I've been receiving. Don't hesitate to contact medical professionals if feeling too overwhelmed. Fully realize how serious this is. Then he messaged, the first client who contacted me about this fiasco committed suicide yesterday. Please, if you're feeling overwhelmed, contact a medical professional or call a suicide hotline. The emergency motion in federal court is being filed today. We should have a ruling fairly soon. Please share. By last night, Ned Pillersdorf, lawyer in Floyd County, said, waiting for me in my office tonight after the meeting was a distraught state police detective who advised me that there are now 3 apparent suicides and that they all had suspension letters. Can't help but think that Franklin Delano Roosevelt would be turning over in his grave if he knew how the vulnerable people he sought to protect had been treated by the Social Security Administration that he established. The federal government and the SSA have until 5 o'clock tomorrow to respond to his petition for injunction. By the way, and I guess this probably accounts for why there's only Kevin and Brother Deacon Asa out there in terms of fundraising for tonight. By the way, the website is down. I can't even get into the chat room right now, but so because I just had a note saying the stream is continuously buffering as well. The website is not tied to the stream site, so that may be a different problem, but I just wanted you to know. As we wrap up for the evening, though, let's take cognizance of something. Before Fox News TV Radio Rwanda gets hold of this story and starts screaming about how that one in our White House is cutting people off of Social Security, do please let us recall who it is that's always out there harping on people getting crazy checks and drunk checks. That's not Democrats. That's the howling of the white wing in this country, screaming about all those undeserving poors who are sitting there just sucking up money. Social Security is a non-adversarial process, or supposed to be. And I don't know of many Social Security lawyers who don't have, for lack of a better term, pet doctors who can be counted on to write a favorable report about a Social Security client. It's kind of a subspecialty in the medical field. But somebody dropped the dime on Khan and Daugherty and there's probably more here than meets the eye. I find it difficult to believe that there would be 1,500 or 900 people who had been awarded Social Security, because Social Security disability and SSI are periodically reviewed. I find it difficult to believe that all 900 are simply without merit. But if you want to look for a reason why the Social Security Administration would take arbitrary and capricious acts like this, look no further than the Congress of the United States and the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christian, Christ-centered, evangelical fundamentalists that have that place in a chokehold for your reason. Just as a little thought experiment, let's try this. Just for the sake of uniformity, I'm going to type into Google Social Security fraud. The first thing that pops is, report fraud, waste, or abuse, Office of the Inspector General. In fact, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 links are related to social how to report Social Security fraud. Now let's click over to news. Jailed Exeter man enters not guilty plea to Social Security fraud. Judge sentences Casper woman to 1 year in prison for Social Security fraud. Franklin woman pleads guilty to Social Security fraud. Social Security's death file aids in ID theft. Two sentenced in Social Security fraud. Payette woman placed on probation for Social Security fraud. It goes on and on like that. Dig down far enough, and you'll find right-wingers howling about the poors and their Social Security. So just remember that when this story pops and gets picked up by Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, remember that there's always more than meets the eye. And by the way, here in a couple of minutes, the Duggar drinking game gets started. Every time someone says heal, God, or private family matter, you have to do a shot. No sane person will be able to get through it without an intoxication-enabling amount of booze. By the way, you drink twice when they say forgiveness or forgiven. Ugh. Yeah. All right, so that's the program for this evening. I hope you've enjoyed it to the extent Prayer Meeting Wednesday can be enjoyed. I hope you have enjoyed it, our little examination, our weekly examination of the excesses and evils of the right-wing religion industry. Back tomorrow evening with Thorn in the Side Thursday. Thanks again to Chris and to Brother Deacon Asa and to Kevin and to Michael, who leave us with only $125 in fundraising for the evening. We'll just sort of add that on tomorrow unless it rolls in the interim. But $325 to finish the week is not a terrible haul. Thank you, one and all. Thank you to all of you for your time that you share with the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and ACHECT, ACHECT.org. I'm going right back to bed and see if we can't get this thing beat once and for all. This has pretty much worn me out. But always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.